number one website has the value-added information not available anywhere else. Trainer and jockey stats, detailed pedigree data, exclusive brisk pace, speed, and class ratings, free memberships, free handicapping software, race entries and results, handicapper selections, and so much more. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover BristNet.com.
Stand by, you're up.
The official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, create his cause. There's $1 million pedigree. Won grade one stakes, he earned over $1 million. His sire won grade one stakes, won over $1 million. His dam won grade one stakes and earned over $1 million. He's by 3-time champion sire Giant's Causeway. Actually, Giant's Causeway earned over $3 million. And his dam is the $1 million winner Dream of Summer. Creative Cause won grade one stakes at 2, grade two stakes as a 3-year-old, placing in 2 more grade one stakes, including the classic Preakness. Met and defeated every horse he ever ran against. Runners like Bodemaster, Union Rags, I'll Have Another, Paintner, Hanson, Doolahan, Take Charge Indy, Gemologist. A super crop of high-class runners. The first foals by Creative Cause are yearlings, and you're going to love them at the sales. They're 8 in the upcoming Fazy Tipton July sales. He stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Capital of the world. It's Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis on Fox Sports 1580.
And down the fence they come.
We'll talk about the horses.
Oh, whirl away, pulls away.
The people.
Here comes Tim Cam down the middle of the track now.
And the history of the thoroughbred industry.
And it's Secretary on the Quincy by 2.5 lengths.
Now live from Kentucky's bluegrass region, here's Ursel.
Well, good morning, everyone, and we are, as usual, right here in the clocker stand at the Thoroughbred Center on the Lexington Parish Road.
Was that you, Winian?
No, it sounded just like a girlfriend I used to.
Oh, she was your girlfriend. She's gone.
Yeah, I guess so. I've outlived everybody else. I might as well outlive them, too. I haven't outlived you. That's my wife, Jackie. And we're here, as I said, in the clocker stand. The track is sloppy today. It kind of looks like an Elk Horn Creek. I have to say Elk Horn real carefully because when I was a kid, I thought it was Elk Horn.
Yeah.
And
you lived right there on the banks of the
Elk Horn. I sure did. Born and raised on the banks of the Elk Horn.
Right.
But we're here, as I say, in the clocker stand where we usually are. My Matt Howard is here. He's manages the farm right behind us, Ressie and Jackie. Susie Shirtlett is our clocker, and we must have scared Susie
up. No, it's break.
Oh, it's break time?
Break time, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which break means renovation break for the racetrack. They stop it in the middle. They get out here with their equipment and fix it, especially today with the rain. It's got holes in it where the horse's feet hit, so he's going to smooth it out.
Yeah. We got a great track man here.
Oh, Harold.
Mm-hmm.
He's great.
Yeah, we used to fuss at him a little bit because we think we're going to have a day off, you know, from the clocking, because it can get pretty busy out here doing the clocking. I mean, Jackie and I did it one day back when I was the clocker here. I did the clocking for 10 years after I retired from training, and I would get up every morning, 4:30, come out here and do the clocking. And one morning we were out here, and we had 119 works in one morning.
I know, it was unbelievable.
Where the clocker stand is, we stand up here on stilts, and there's a parking lot, a gravel parking lot right behind it. And you hear these cars pull in behind you on that gravel. About midway through this, Jackie says, "This is crazy." Says, "If I hear one more damn car pull in on that gravel, I'm going to scream." But we got the job done. I think that was the highest. And I don't remember yet. Susie just had 10 works so far this morning.
Yeah,
it's been a little slow.
And I meant to bring in this week's Blood Horse has a real nice article on clockers. So bring it in. Let Susie look at it now that she is.
Yeah, but clocking at a training center is a little different than clocking at the racetrack. You work more with the on the racetrack with spotters for you. You know, the outriders spot for you when a horse comes on the track. They identify you for you. And if you see a horse go by and you really don't know their name or you're not sure, you can go to the racing secretary's office afterwards and check against the markings against the papers. You can't do that here because This is a training center, and all the papers are for most of the horses are at the racetracks.
Yeah.
So we can't do that. So.
But it's small enough, and everybody knows everybody else, that it would be really hard for somebody out here to do much cheating. Because everybody knows everybody else.
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah.
So and you, what you work with, you have stopwatches. We used to have about six stopwatches. And I never could get up to doing six, but I could do three upon occasion.
Yeah.
And
Hard part was three breaking off different poles at the same time.
Yeah, that got
and
a little
especially
hairy.
Especially if one of them in the front was slow and something behind them passed, and you got your watches. One, two, three. And all of a sudden, watch three is watch two. And that's when the panic sets in. But yeah. we did it okay.
You work with the starting gate crew. They have a walkie-talkie. You work with them. So it was fun.
Yeah, we enjoyed it.
I couldn't believe that they paid me to come out here to look at horses. You know, that was. Well, anyway, what we're going to do today, Dr. Steve Allday is going to come in at the top of the hour. Steve is one of the nation's premier veterinarians. He's got a lovely farm down at Shelbyville.
Yeah, we were down there once for a picnic kind of thing. It was great.
Yeah, it was. He did a charity picnic for old friends staying in retirement.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's coming in at the top of the hour. And Dr. Brian Waldridge, who's here every week, except sometimes he plays hooky, but he does our weekly veterinarian segment. I talked to him just a minute ago, and he was feeding. He says, I'll be in just as soon as I get through feeding. And he lives in Scott County. He does voluntary work for Old Friends Retirement Program.
That
was,
of
course, that's Michael Blowen that founded that. And, boy, he's really built that thing up. I tell you what, he's taking care of over 100 horses out there now. He's got the winners of over close to $100 million on that place.
I know.
Eclipse Award winners, you know. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Game on, dude.
He just got Bob Baffert just donated $50,000 to him, to them,
yeah.
You know. And I was talking to Michael. He's at
There's Doc coming up now.
I talked to Michael on the phone yesterday. He's up in New York, so maybe we can get a hold of him a little bit later. He was at Saratoga for some reason. I said,
does he have his money suit on?
His money suit.
His money suit, yeah.
Yeah, he's the best I ever saw.
At raising him, yeah, he sure is. Well, anyway, so we might be getting in touch. We're going to try to get in touch with Steve Moody, who is the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. That's published by our good friends over at Bloodstock Research Information Services. That's Happy Broadbent. And he's in charge of that. Let's see what else. We're running the Bed of Roses Handicap today in New York. I might do something on Bed of Roses. Bed of Roses, she was a champion two-year-old filly in 1949. They named a race after her. And she was by Rosemont, very interesting horse. Rosemont belonged to the DuPont family. And he stood in Virginia, virtually a private stud. And they didn't try to sell seasons to him. You could buy one, but they didn't hustle him or anything. But he did very well at stud on his own, basically. And he is best remembered as the 1937 winner of the Santa Anita Handicap, in which he beat Seabiscuit. In a photo finish that day. He was given Seabiscuit 10 pounds. They didn't say that in the book, but he was. He was carrying 124. Seabiscuit was in with 114. But then he came back the next year, Seabiscuit did, and got beat by Stagehand in a photo. But that was Stagehand had won the Santa Anita Derby. He was a three-year-old, but they'd weighted the handicap prior to him winning that. And it was he got in with like 102 pounds or something like that, you know, the Santa Anita Derby winner, and then the handicap winner. Was heavy, you know, weighted more. And I forget what Seabiscuit was probably giving him, 25, 30 pounds, something like that. The next year in Santa Anita, Kayak won it, who was a imported horse from Argentina. He was a stablemate of Seabiscuit's, but Seabiscuit didn't run that year. That was 1939, and then he came, 38, and then 39 he came back and won it with Kayak was second. But there were those there present who said that they didn't let Kayak run that day. They wanted to win it with Seabiscuit. But anyway, we may talk about Bed of Roses. She was bred by Alfred Gwynne Vanderbilt. Actually, she was foaled in California. We'll get to that a little bit later. We got Jackie's announcements. Might do a little on Joe Palmer. Let me take a break here now, and we're going to get back. And Dr. Walridge has just walked in. Good morning, Doc. But we'll get back to you in just a second.
All right.
All right. Here we go. Algorithms is by the top Sire Bernardini. He's one of three graded stakes winners produced by Ava Knows the Code, a hard-hitting graded stakes winner herself. It's a family of tough, hard-hitting stakes winners. Algorithms won all three of his starts, broke his maiden first time out by 5 1/4 lengths at Belmont, serving notice that he was something special, won his second start as a 2-year-old, also in impressive fashion. That was a Gulfstream. And in his first start at 3, was in the grade 2 $500,000 Holy Bull Stakes at Gulfstream, and he handed Hanson, champion 2-year-old of the previous year, his first defeat, beat him by 5 eye-opening lengths. At that time, Algorithms was considered a major threat for the upcoming classics, but a training accident ended his career. His obvious class, his pedigree, and his confirmation commanded an opportunity at stud, and the quality of his first foals yearlings this year justify the decision. There are several of them in the Facey Tipton Kentucky July sale, so go take a look. You're going to like what you see. Inquiries to Bernie Sams, 859-233-4252, and see the website at claibonfarm.com. Jackie, you want to do a commercial here for my good friends over at Hopewell?
Absolutely. I love those people. Because it's a good feeling to do business with people you trust, especially when it comes to insurance. When we moved to Bourbon County, friends recommended Hopewell Company, and that was going on 26, 27 years ago. Woo! Anyway, they've been taking care of our insurance needs ever since. Insurance, they have extensive insurance working with horse farms and racing stables. Now, that's Joe and Ted McLean, and Ted worked in the barn with Secretariat. So he knows
assistant trainer to Lucian Lauren.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing. And they also cover our home, farm, vehicles, horse, trailer, plus liability coverage. And right there, whenever we needed them, and real quick, we got struck by lightning 2 years ago. They were there the same day, and they know who to call, too. They called
Linville Electric.
Linville Electric.
And great outfit in Paris.
Anyway, they came right over and fixed it up. They're super people, and they know who to contact. They work for us, not the insurance companies. They give us the best coverage and most competitive prices from financially sound and reputable insurance. Contact the Hopewell Company. They'll give you a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. That's the Hopewell Company, 820 South Main Street in Paris. 987-2347, or here's the Lexington number, 254-2431. You'll get great service, I guarantee it.
Well, the Facey Tipton July sale is coming up, and the Clay Ward Agency, which was founded in 1931 by Mr. James Clay Ward, they've been providing the finest in equine insurance for well over 80 years now, 84 to be exact, and their success was based on hard work, dedication, and attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business, and those qualities are still carried on today over at the Clay Ward Agency by Shaq Parrish and Bruce Isaacs or John Hess. So give them a call at 987-1861, 987-1861 over in Paris. And also, they're closely affiliated with the with Indian Creek, and Indian Creek have been consigning horses, thoroughbreds, the finest thoroughbreds to the major sales for many, many years now. They sold, I think, something like 4 champions, both here and abroad. And they've, with the July sale coming up, they've got a couple of nice yearlings in there now. They've got a Scat Daddy colt, who's out of a mare by Saddler's Wells that placed, and she's a stakes winner, and she also placed in the Classic Irish 1,000 Guineas. They got a Philly by Dialed In. That's his first crop because he won the Grade 1 Florida Derby. Great people, and if you're going to sell later on in November, if at the breeding stock sales, give them a call. Clay Ward Agency is at 987-1861 Indian Creek. That's Shaq Parrish and Dinky Dryan, 987-7443. On the website, IndianCreekKY.com.
Now, back to Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis.
Well, Dr. Brian Walridge is with me today. Of course, Brian does the weekly vet segment for us. And I got a horse in training over here, ran second just the other day. I thought sure he'd least and bring in, you know, you, when you win races, you bring donuts when you run second.
He spent his winnings on that shirt and that hat. He's got a new shirt and a hat, and the heck with us.
National champions, what does it say? National champions, what?
Oh, it's my old Auburn hat, my classic Auburn.
But he's got a new Breeders' Cup shirt on, purple, over here, and no donuts.
And no donuts. Well, anyway.
Yeah, I could have brought us a hole.
The grooms wanted holes last week, so I had to bring them donut holes.
Donut holes. Okay. Boy, these veterinarians are tight, huh?
Aren't they, though?
Yeah. Especially when not so tight when it goes to the bill. But your filly ran real good.
She did. Yeah, there in the stretch, she had about 3 length lead there, and that little gray just came from nowhere and got her. But looked good. I mean, she ran good. There's no complaints. Just got beat.
Well, tell Tim to get one more work, and she might have got there. Tim Wilson's a trainer.
So what are you going to do next with her? How's she come out?
She looks really good. So hoping we get her in a race Friday.
Oh, good.
Pretty much the same race. So we're trying that.
What time does that... What time is post time like up there? I'd like to go. They're during the day at the
1:30-ish, maybe
former river.
This is Belterra. We haven't been up there. I want to get up there.
Yeah, it's set up nice. So the paddock's small, but everything else is pretty nice.
Well, the paddock was always small,
and it's
smaller.
It's smaller now.
Wow. That's what people told me. It's smaller. It's a little bit. It almost looks like if you had a 10-horse race, you could line the horses up head to tail. And they would all touch to me.
Oh, my God.
Not that anybody's tried, but it's a little bit tight. Especially with my mare. It's kind of big. It looks really small with her there.
Well, that's, you know, we haven't been up there since they've, the new people remodeled it and everything. Took away the great grass track at the head.
Oh, was it? Was it one nice?
Oh, yeah. It was the best grass track.
You mean
track
they don't have a grass track now?
Yeah.
It's one of the best ever. Yeah. Yeah.
It was.
Yeah. Best anywhere. Maybe.
Of course, they wouldn't ever, you know, a little cloud go over, they wouldn't run on it.
No.
That's why it was so good.
Yeah.
But now they have a nice grandstand, and they have a sort of covered restaurant area where people can just sit and watch. And
you get those Cincinnati brats there.
Oh, they look like they had them. Yeah, we always miss on the food somehow every time we go.
Well, that's because they're selling beer.
Yeah, it can only hold so much.
Because we're always the last race, too. That's always the bad thing. In your last race, you miss food. Then you just leave when the race is over.
I was always too sick to eat before. And then...
Whenever we ran.
When we ran.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when I'm disappointed after the race... I just eat.
Yeah. I'd saddle a horse and she'd disappear to the restroom.
Oh, yeah. I had to go. I mean, it was terrible. I had scours pretty bad. Pre-race jitters. And
nervous energy.
Nervous, bad. Nervous.
Nervous stomach.
Yeah. And I'd come out at the last minute. And
it was her duty to buy. You know, we always bet $20 to win on whatever we were running. Which meant we lost a lot of money down through the years. But it was fun. We did it. Gosh, how long did we train?
I don't know.
Too long, I guess.
Oh.
But we had a lot of fun. We always had to sell the ones that could run. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a couple of guys. Bob Murray, who started the American Inn. Mm-hmm. He founded American Inn. You know, a great restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And Bob Dyfel, Buck Dyfel.
You remember,
He had Town and Country Paint, wasn't that what it was?
Yeah.
In Lexington?
I
don't know. Bob died a few years back. But anyway, we had four mares, Jack and I did, that we we bought them to race out of them. And we never got to race anything out of two of them. And because...
they had good luck with them.
They wanted to buy them, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, just as soon as they could stand up, they were out there looking at them, you know. But which was fine because we needed the money.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, we had to sell the ones that wouldn't vet out or wouldn't... We had one mare, which actually was the best bred mare that we had. Mm-hmm. None of them had much pedigree. I mean, it was about as weak as mine. And anyway, they the one, the best bred mare of the bunch, she never had anything was worth two dead flies. I ended up finding...
They were beautiful.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They were big, strong, beautiful shoulders, the whole nine yards. They just didn't have it.
Yeah. We gave them to Midway.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
To this.
And I know they didn't last long down there because they took one look at them and no, they were on the phone getting ready. Come get this one. Well, wait till you see this one, you know. And they'd sell it. For years after that, we got letters from Midway College.
Yes, yeah, says you have a $5,000 deduction for your taxes. And I said, thank you very much.
Mare increased in value every year.
Yeah, absolutely.
That mare didn't. I'll tell you that. I can't remember her name now.
Noble Reflection.
Noble Reflection.
I remember.
And she could run, you know. That's the reason I bought them. They were all four good race mares.
Mm-hmm.
And
she had ankles, looked like grapefruits.
Yeah. Yeah, just passed it on too. They were born with them.
I were not.
All right, well, let's do this. I bet you want to go over there and walk that hot. So.
Oh, yeah, I'm really looking forward to this humidity today to walk her. I think we'll put her on the machine today, I think.
You got to walk over there?
Well, we go to the farm across the way. Is it Mill Iron?
Yeah.
We go to that walker.
Y'all swim much there?
I don't swim her, but there's quite a few that do swim there.
Oh, I know. They got a good business.
But she's so big, I'm afraid she'll flood the place if she's got in it. Yeah. But, so
Mill Liner's a facility out there. They've got a pool for horses.
Nice pool. Really, yeah. It's set up really nice and plenty of, there's a lot of room so you can move your horses around easily, and it's set up real nice.
Yeah.
So we'll probably put her on the machine today.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that walk her over there? Are you going to...
Doc, you look like you could use a little weight. I'll go around. Yeah. Well, what's your subject today?
Well, I thought it'd be a good one to talk about just weepy eyes since it's summertime. And before we got this rain, that was something I'd seen quite a bit. You know, just horses just have a little bit of junk in their eyes. Kind of what to look at and what to do for them. And, you know, I've had some out old friends I had to flush their nasal lacrimal ducts. Because, you know, there's a duct that goes from the eye down to the nostril, pretty close to the nostril, and that's why when you cry, your nose runs and things like that. And so,
yeah, mine does too.
Yeah, so in horses, that'll get clogged up, and you need to put sedate them and put a catheter in there, and usually use like a dog urinary catheter or just like an IV catheter. You can flush. Sometimes you'll see a little plug of stuff even come out up by their eye because you flush from the nostril up. Because that little duct, and if you look, you can look on the floor of a horse's nostril, you see a little pink dot, and that's where it comes out. And so flush those, and usually they'll take care of the problem. Sometimes they'll even have swelling around their eyelids just because of that irritation and all that's in there.
Well, and so, that's where the flies go.
And those face flies, yes, ma'am. They go and feed on that. And
you know, that makes it worse, I'm sure.
In cattle, face flies spread pink eye, but nobody's really shown. And in horses, they spread that bacteria. But in horses, nobody's ever really shown for sure that the face flies transfer. Because there's really not... There's some herpes viruses, but there's really not any set bacteria like there is in cattle that causes eye infections in horses.
I was
pink
told
eye? I never saw a horse with pink eye. Do you, Jackie?
That's what he said. Cattle, not horses.
So you'll see what...
You were saying that cattle can't pass it on to the horses.
Not that I've ever seen any reports of. In cattle, there's a set bacteria that causes the pink eye, but in horses, there's not... One special bacteria in cattle, the face flies spread them. So nobody's really proven that face flies are a big cause of eye infections, like they are in cows. For sure they are in cows.
Now, don't face flies, I was told, they breed on cow manure.
They do. Like
face flies,
decaying organic material.
Yeah, okay.
And so
it's not pleasant.
And, you know, for sure, if a horse has an eye infection, I think those face flies just make it worse. Just because it makes the horse want to rub its eye. And then that's sometimes where you get an eye ulcer. If the horse didn't have an ulcer, you know, they'll rub their eye on the inside of their knee, and then they'll end up getting a little ulcer there. And so that's one of the reasons why if you see a horse kind of having some trouble, let's go ahead and get a hold of it before they start scratching at it. And then they'll get an ulcer, and then you have two problems.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
And your number is? What's your phone number?
My number. 859-361-3220.
All right. 361.
If we get you some business, do we get a cut?
Oh, sure. I'll bring donut holes.
Bring donuts next time. You're only supposed to bring donuts if you win. He ran second.
Well, that's right. You know,
we should give him donuts. Sympathy donuts.
Sympathy donuts.
Yeah.
At least the purses are pretty good up there now. Okay, it's comparative what they used to be.
The horse that wins does pretty good. You know, but it'll pay for your day anyway to go up there.
Yeah. Back to fifth, don't they?
I believe. I'm not exactly sure. And I think they may even... pay you back enough to at least cover the jockey on their kind of all the way out, I think.
Make sure the jockeys get paid anyway.
I think so. So that's one nice thing. When you lose bad, you don't have to write another check.
Who's the leading rider up there now?
Oh, it might be Perry Utes.
Again, he's older than I am.
Well, you know, he got, the day we were there, he hit 11th on the all-time win list.
Holy cow.
So he's 11th on...
Nationally.
Nationally.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure that's correct, but I know he's up there on the list.
Yeah.
The Yuri Uringa rides her, and I think he's about 7th, so he's in the top 10.
Yeah. Okay. All right, my friend. We'll let you go over and walk that hot, except you're not, you've already figured a way to get out of it.
Yeah, I think so today. I may take it easy today.
That's the way to do it. They want to get that new shirt dirty.
That's right.
Yeah.
You can get these at Walmart. I found this at Walmart.
Yeah, that's
Breeders' Cup shirt. I was excited.
When you buy your clothes at Walmart, you call it Wally Marte.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, that's where they are, a designer. And I thought it's got to be cheaper there than it's going to be somewhere else.
Absolutely.
So,
it won't be cheap at the real thing.
Because I like the Keeneland logo. Breeders' Cup logo.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Go ahead and get one.
Wonder why they didn't. Well, purple, that's kind of the color for Breeders' Cup races. Yeah.
They had them in other colors.
Keeneland green.
Well, there were some. Most of those were gone. So.
Oh, okay.
I have to get the bigger sizes.
Well, if you go walk a couple more hots.
Plus sizes.
Yeah, the plus sizes, you don't have as many choices.
The plus sizes section.
All right, Doc. Thank you.
See you.
Appreciate
later.
You coming by.
Thanks.
Maybe we'll see you Friday. Let us know if you get in.
Enter tomorrow.
Okay.
All righty. Well, First Defense is off to another good start this year. Iris Jasper has won the Grade 3 Miss Preakness Stakes and Aqueduct's Bell Harbor Stakes. Don Donnell has won the Sprint Cup Group 2 at Hong Kong. Of course, Donnell has also won group stakes in England. He's the second millionaire by First Defense, having been preceded by Eclipse Award winner Close Hatches. Fame and Power won the Sir Barton Stakes at Pimlico, and he's placed in the Grade 3 Matt Wynn at Churchill and in Keeneland's Grade 3 Coolmore Lexington Stakes. Tom Berlane won the Tetrit Stakes in Ireland after placing in a pair of group stakes as a two-year-old last year. And two more placed in stakes in England, Dance Track and Abseil. All that already this year, and the best is yet to come. The quality of mares sent to First Defense since his emergence as a classic sire is superb. First Defense stands at Judmont Farm. For more on the stallions there, call Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry at 859-272-7629 and see the website at judmont.com. Well, down through the years, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack have walked into a Sally van on their way to win a Kentucky Derby or a Breeders' Cup race, and yes, to a Triple Crown. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. Sally vans are always in tip-top condition. The person behind the wheel is an experienced driver and an experienced horseman. That, my friends, is a winning combination. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than 6 decades, the Sally van has been the safest way to the winner's circle. So give them a call. The number over at Sally Vans is 859-255-9406. The website is sallyvans.com. And enjoy the ride. Well, Jim Ologist was undefeated as a two-year-old, concluding his juvenile year with a win in the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes at Churchill. At 3, he won the Grade 1 Wood Memorial. He is one of 13 Grade 1 winners by the big horse sire Tisnow. The Wood Memorial was his 5th consecutive win. Elected to the Hall of Fame, Tisnow annually ranks among the nation's leading sires, and Jim Ologist's female family is also impressive. He's out of Crystal Shard, and Crystal Shard has produced 3 stakes winners. The second dam is graded stakes winner Sulamith, a graded stakes producer from a live family. In fact, there are more than 20 stakes horses under Gemologist's first 2 dams. His first 2 dams are by Mr. Prospector and Northern Dancer, and his third dam is the Blue Hen producer Barely Even, winner of 9 major stakes, including Keeneland's Grade 1 Ashton. Great pedigree, and Gemologist lived up to it. He covered 284 mares in his first 2 seasons as stud, and you'll be seeing his first crop yearlings at the major sales. There are 8 of them in the Fasig Tipton July sales. For more on the stallions at Windstar Farm, call Darren Fox, Sean Tugel, or Kyle Wilson. The number is 859-873-1717, and see the website at windstarfarm.com.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursula Lelis.
All righty. Matt Howard. Turn that mic on over there for Matt. Okay. What did they do? Yesterday we were over here, and somebody came by. Oh, it was David.
Yeah.
From over at the training center came by, and they had a horse, a seven-year-old stud horse down here. They were looking for a home for him. Did anybody ever find one for him?
Well, he's not a seven-year-old.
What is
he? He's a four-year-old.
Oh, he's a four-year-old.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, that's just 3 years, and he's good, I guess.
And he is intact.
That means he's got his testicles. Well, go ahead.
In the game plan.
Or as my little girl used to say, his tentacles.
No. She said technicals.
Technical.
They tutored him. We had some people visiting at the farm, and they said, now, is he a stallion? And she said, no, he's a gelding. They tutored him, and they took away his technicals. Works for me.
But and I am picking him up on Monday.
You're picking him up.
And he's coming to my farm.
Okay.
And we're going to make him a teaser.
Oh, okay.
I called my wife when I said, hey, they went in. I said, and he's intact. And she said, well, I know a farm who needs a teaser. If we can make him a teaser, if he's big enough, we'll use him there. If not, we'll find him a home. So that's what we're doing. He's coming to live with us.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then me and my guys are going to.
Tell me a little bit about him. What does he look like?
He's actually decent, nice. He's just shy of six, just under 16 hand. Nice bay, I guess. The only thing I heard was he was slow. I said, I don't care if he's slow or not. If he can jump up on a mare or tease a mare or get one pregnant, a nurse mare pregnant, then we're fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he's nice looking. He's real calm. The way he acted, you wouldn't think he's intact.
Oh.
I walked up to him and by his fence, David drove me over to him and he came right up to me. So,
oh, that's nice.
He got him turned out?
Yeah, he's turned out in a paddock here right now. David had a guy taking care of him. My guy start today taking care of him over here. And then I just had to move. That's why I had to get all my hay bales moved so I could move my calves over there so I could put this guy in the back where my calves were.
Yeah.
In one of my small paddocks back there. So, mm-hmm.
Did you ever check his pedigree?
Yeah.
How's he bred?
Oh, I don't remember.
You don't remember?
Must not be what we're calling.
Now, my age, I forget, but, you know, somebody's younger than
you
are.
I looked yesterday. I want to know his age.
We're looking up on his little
phone. He was dumped, right? Somebody moved off and left him?
Somebody moved off and left
him. Yeah, I hope that guy's ruled off.
Well.
Maybe, huh?
I don't know. All I know is he doesn't have any licenses now. Trainers, owners, any kind of life. But he did sign over the papers. He had a hearing yesterday.
Oh.
And he did sign over the papers to me.
Yeah.
So.
Where'd you have a hearing?
I don't know where he had it. I just got a phone call.
The racing stewards. Racing commission.
Yeah. Oh.
Over at the horse park.
Oh, okay. Well, he's in trouble. You got to take care of these horses.
Hola.
Now.
Yes.
There goes my friend.
That's my big thing. If you want to get in this business, if you want to get the game, own a horse, or I don't care if it's a riding horse, a racehorse, barrel horse, whatever, take care of it. If you don't think you can take care of it, you know, plan 10 years in advance. If you don't have the money to take care of a horse for 10 years, don't get a horse.
Exactly.
That's the bottom line.
You ever find his pedigree? Here we go.
I'm pulling it up.
Okay. I'm just sitting here with bated breath.
Can't wait to breed to him, right? Yeah.
It's by Mubarak Jablar.
By who? I know. Let me see it real quick. I know who that horse is.
The top one.
Yeah, I know that. Wrong to Dr. Roth.
Oh, Doc, this?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Enough said.
No, it wasn't. He'd given the horse away.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it wasn't his.
No, it wasn't his.
Right.
But he's giving the horse away, yeah. But
Dr.
Rolf is the breeder.
Yeah.
Ursel's clocked him, I bet.
Let's put it this way. He comes by his lack of speed naturally.
Yeah.
I don't think the sire ever won either, you know, but. So
we're gonna Rude and Riddle, once again, Dr. Brady Camp is going to do all the tests and everything on this guy for free.
That's nice.
See how everything looks on him, and hopefully we can make him into a good teaser for this farm. That way we're able to deal with that nursemare situation we were talking about nursemare bred. So if I can find all the farms a teaser, I think every farm should have a teaser. Mine, the thing is, mine was getting old. I said, well, heck, I could replace mine because mine's getting old.
Yeah.
I can have two until this one.
Jackie, tell that story about our teaser.
What story? About my girlfriend's coming down?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We had Ace. They're all named Ace. And Ace had a big crusty neck, and some of the girls I went to high school with came down, and we were walking around the farm, and I was trying to explain to them what it was. You know, that's a mare, and that's a foal, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, they didn't know even no colors. So one girl, we came up on Ace the teaser with his huge neck. I mean, his neck was huge. She said, what's this do? And I told her how you use a teaser and, you know, to see if the mare's in season that we can breed it. And she said, well, does he ever get to, you know, do it? And I said, no. She said, oh, my God, it's backed all the way up into his neck.
See, my teaser likes it. He knows when he sees the nurse mares come on. He's excited to see those nurse mares. Actually, he's excited to go to Rude Riddle because they use them for tests and teaching new or young vets or interns on how to collect a stallion.
Yeah.
So he knows he gets to have a good time.
Yeah, right.
So.
Well, Ace never, that I can recall, did we ever have a nurse mare? Seems to me, I don't remember.
No, we never did. No, we never did. Had a niece. Of course, we never had many mares.
Yeah, you know, we had boarders.
Well, we had boarders, yeah, but our own mares, we just the four that I'd bought off a racetrack. But anyway.
Well, I'll get you guys into a quarter horse here soon, a racing quarter horse.
Yeah.
Well, the track's back open again.
The
break, the renovation break closed at 8:30, so it's about ready to open again.
They did what, if you aren't familiar, they did what they call float the track. They come out here with a thing, a weighted thing that squishes it down and fills in all the holes. They drag it.
Levels
more or
it
less.
Off.
Levels it off, and it's very clean looking. And so the horses are going out on what's like a new track.
Yeah. Okay.
So I see some out here.
I think Tell a Little Secret's out here now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you seen her? She should pull up here.
I know.
We're located right at the finish line here.
Well, that's the thing you're talking about. You know, that's the difference between the training center and the track earlier. When you're clocking or you're out here, you end up knowing. That's 90% of the horses
exactly.
Sent here.
For you sure, the riders and the
owners. We know the riders. We know the trainers. And you see those horses, you can almost identify them.
Yeah, and we know the tack. We know the saddle.
Of course, they get a lot of young horses out here in the spring. You know, yeah. 2-year-olds coming in that you don't know.
Yeah.
And you have to learn them and everything.
Yeah.
But you pick up on things, you know, and you can always see one. You know, usually 99 times out of 100, you know when it's going to work when they go by you by the equipment they're wearing.
Yeah, they don't
You know the rider, they got to see, there goes one right by, and he's going to work.
I don't know, really.
Yeah, that's Marcus. Yeah.
He's got rings on.
Okay, you watch him, I guarantee he works off.
Huh, I'll be done.
Susie, is he working?
He said a half.
Half mile, yeah. Okay.
With rings, usually they don't. Rings run from the breastplate up to the reins to keep him from eventually flipping over his head or something. And usually they take those rings off when they work. But he's wearing them. That's not usually what you see.
Well, let's see where I am here. Then Jackie,
you're behind time.
You are.
Oh, I'm not. I'm supposed to come on at 8:40. It's not 8:40 yet.
Did you miss her? No? Okay, you're good.
You're good. How
I didn't miss
that?
Anything. Usually I screw
it up. You don't miss anything. You're sharp as a tack.
Get out of here. Good Lord have mercy. Speaking of tack, Jackie, you can do the quilling.
Okay.
Oh, don't forget. Oh, I think I've got a note in there on Rooster Brewery. Yeah, there it is. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, time's running out on the breeding season, but if you're looking for a real racehorse standing for a bargain feed, take a look at Albertus Maximus. A grade one winner and millionaire, staying free to approve mares. Now, you can't beat the price. And when we say a real racehorse, we mean just that. He won the grade one Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, the grade one Don Handicap, the Windy Sands at Del Mar in track record time. He earned more than $1,328,000. He's won of 6 grade one winners by a grade one winner of over $3 million. And his half-brother won the grade one Champagne Stakes as a 2-year-old just last year. Call Stallion Manager Kent Barnes at 859-224-4585. go see Albertus Maximus, and also take a look at the Shadwell Stallions De Hare and Interdab, both proven sires of graded stakes winners. Once again, Kent's number at Shadwell Farm is 859-224-4585, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Well, in Leather and Tack in Paris, Kentucky, quality service and leather goods since 1982, and they ship out about 20,000 halters a year all over the world. They send boxes of them to Japan, all that kind of stuff. That's because they're good. They're the best. They have great leather craftsmen. They, of course, they do halters. They do shanks. They do twitches. They do collars rolled and flat for your dog or your cat. They do belts. Hey, you want something really nice for Father's Day? Go to Quillen before noon today and pick up something for your dad.
She'll probably buy me a twitch.
Yeah, that's it. I'm going to buy him a twitch. I most certainly will. And, of course, they do repairs on your old stuff, too.
Or Mucksack, one or the other.
And while I'm talking, I want to talk about Ralph Quillen's Rooster Brew. Ralph opened up a craft brewery in downtown Paris. Amazing. Right down the street from the Presbyterian Church. My goodness, how times have changed. Anyway, it's wonderful stuff. He's got 100 bottles of beer on the wall, for all you that remember that song. Thursday night is trivia night. You can do a team trivia or whatever. They open at 5 o'clock. And Friday night's food truck and music. And then they're open Saturday night also. What night did sometimes Matt here comes over and Matt gets Bud. And Bud and Matt come over and get Ursula. What night did you all go over last week?
Thursday.
Last Thursday.
Thursday, yeah.
I'm not going to have one of those things they serve in a snifter now.
Yeah, those big bowls.
Yeah, big bowls. You know, I told them I wanted a dark beer, and they brought this thing in a snifter. And I should have known something was wrong right then. I think it was about 20% alcohol. I don't know.
Right.
But that stool got awful high and a little bit shaky. And I tell you what, I didn't have two of them.
Well, they brought him home anyway.
Yeah, we brought
one way
home.
Or another.
Anyway, glad I wasn't driving.
It's Rooster Brews downtown. It's on your left. Keep going. If you get to the courthouse, you've gone too far. You got to go back. Anyway, let me give you Quillen 987. No, that's their fax. They've got an 800 number, so just remember 800-729-0592, and if you go on and friend Ralph Quillen, you get the update in your email and on Facebook about what kind of carry-ons will be there next week.
Well, Wednesday, Royal Ascot, the Group 2 Queen Mary Stakes, was won by Acapulco, a two-year-old filly by Scat Daddy. She won by a length and a half, beating 19 other juvenile fillies. Acapulco was bred by Dr. Charles Giles, sold as a yearling at Keenan for $180,000, resold for $750,000 at the OBS March sale. On the day before Acapulco's Queen Mary win, a two-year-old by Scat Daddy sold for a session topping $575,000 at the OBS June sale. 2 days prior to that, Celestine, a three-year-old filly by Scat Daddy, won Belmont's Wild Applause Stakes. Scat Daddy began his stud career as the number one ranked freshman sire, and he's just kept right on rolling. The leading freshman sire this year is Uncle Mo. The leading second crop sire is Munnings. Munnings was represented by his seventh first crop stakes winner when Capar Girl won the new start stakes in Pennsylvania on Saturday. And the next day, Mississippi Delta, by three times champion sire Giants Causeway, won the Alley Wild Stakes at Woodbine. Scat Daddy, Uncle Mo, Munnings, Giants Causeway, stand at Ashford Stud. Historically, the home of champion sires. Call the farm at 859-873-7088 and see the website, coolmore.com.
The APR has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals.
Bye, guys.
And why a new generation is using APR online.
All right.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center in Ursulelis.
Well, Michael Blowen is still in New York, or he's always in New York. He's up there shaking everybody loose from some money. Michael, how are you today?
I'm great, Ursula. How are you?
I'm doing real good. I hope you shook a few more people loose up there.
I think so, Ursula. It's been they've been very nice to us up here. I really appreciate it. And I'm here on the porch. It's a lovely sunny day, and I'm on the porch at the Ann's Washington Inn and beautiful downtown Saratoga Springs.
Well, they're not running to Saratoga. What are you doing in Saratoga?
Well, this is where we have some of our meetings. And don't forget, we have Old Friends branch up here. Old Friends at you know, old friends up in Greenfield Center, New York. So.
Yeah, how far is that from Saratoga now?
15 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Will's Way's up there doing good and Zippy Chippy, and we just got a really nice horse named B Bullish, big gold gray horse that Mike Rapoli got for us.
Yeah, Zippy,
so
Zippy,
them.
Zippy Chippy, the world's leading loser.
Yes. Zippy, 0 for 100.
0 for 100.
Yeah, but he's getting his own beer glass. I'll bring you one in when they're done. They should be done in a couple of weeks.
Long as some beer in it. You owe me a beer anyway.
I do owe you one of those, but it was a good trade.
You stole one of my birthday beers out of my car, for crying out loud. Now, you know, that's pretty...
Yeah, but I left the magazine.
Yeah, you left the magazine. Yeah, but you're going to give me the magazine anyway. I wasn't going to give you the beer. And my birthday beer, for crying out loud. Okay.
You're stealing a man's birthday beer. I'll have to have a word with you.
That's pretty low, isn't it?
It's low.
I know, you have to be awfully thirsty.
Pardon?
You have to be awfully thirsty.
Yeah, right.
Birthday beer.
Yeah, and pretty brazen,
especially
too.
You've had so many birthdays.
Yeah. Well, the next time we get together and go out for a beer, you can have one for every one of my birthdays.
Oh, that'll be great. And then I can crawl home.
You wouldn't be able to crawl.
Old Zippy. So we've designed the Zippy beer glass. We've already got one for Silver Charm and for Game On Dude. And, you know, you list the accomplishments and the jockeys and everything. Well, poor Zippy didn't have that many accomplishments, but we did decide to list all of his jockeys on the glass. And there were 26 of them.
Well, that's not too bad. 26 jockeys for 100 races.
Stars. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess nobody wanted. Well, that's for 4 starts for jockey. That's not bad.
Mike Smith rode them.
Oh, you're kidding. That must have been early in his career.
Very early in both their careers.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you couldn't get him. You couldn't get him up there now, could you?
No. No. I may be able to. He's very good. He loves old friends, and he's been to the farm, and so we look forward to seeing Mike the next time he comes to see Zenyatta, or maybe when he comes up to ride at Keeneland.
Well, tell people what you're doing up in New York.
Well, we're having some meetings up here. Jack Knowlton, if you remember Jack, he runs Sacatoga Stables, and they had Funnyside during his great run, and they still, every time they buy a horse, they donate $5,000 to old friends for that horse's insurance, for his retirement insurance. But anyway, Jack's been working with the local officials and the gaming commissions and others, and he's planning this terrific summit on September the 1st up here, and it's the first time that aftercare is going to be addressed at this summit, so we're very excited.
Ah,
I came up to talk to Jack and to work out some things, and hopefully get some things accomplished so that these horses will have a little Social Security, a little 401k when the time is done.
There you go. That's great. But when are you coming home?
Tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. Can't wait to get home. I miss everybody, but everybody's doing well, and we're all excited to come home.
Well, you got a good man managing your place out there where you're going, so... Yeah,
I know. It's better when I leave.
Did you see why Brian's mare ran second the other day?
Yes.
Yeah. Just got beat. She had a 3-length lead and got beat a 1/2 length.
And those fractions were pretty tough. For those. I mean, it was really an amazing race. She showed a real competitive spirit, and she just slowed down a little because she got into a speed battle early with that other horse.
But yeah.
She's sitting on another good one, I think.
Well, I sure hope so. He's getting a big kick out of it. He came in this morning. He's on his old way over there now to help out with Tim, his trainer, over there. So.
Those are the days I wish they just didn't have win pictures, but they also had place pictures. Brian would have bought 20 place pictures.
Oh, there you go. Well, you could buy a win picture and then crop the winner out, you know. I mean,
that is true.
Okay. All right, well, I got to let you go, my friend.
All right, well, tell Dr. Alday I was asking for him. Thank him for everything, and we'll see you in a day or two.
Okay, he's supposed to be here at the top of the hour, so we'll see how the road is from Shelbyville.
Great.
All right. Okay, Michael, this is Michael Blowing from Old Friends. Thank you. We'll see you when you get back.
Thanks, Russell. Thanks a lot.
All righty. Well, the folks at Spendthrift Farm would like to take this time to thank their breeders for making the 2015 breeding season their best yet, and to wish you all a most profitable sales season. The staff at Spendthrift Farm has worked hard to become the breeder's farm, and they're proud of that many of you have taken advantage of their popular breed, Secure and Share the Upside programs. They're also proud of the first crop success of Into Mischief and Line of David and Temple City and Warrior's Reward, and congratulate those who sent mares to them. To learn more about the Spendthrift Farm Stallions, contact Des Dempsey, Brian Lyle, or Mark Toothacker. The telephone number, 859-294-0030. They'd be happy to show you the stallions and to talk to you about your future breeding plans and how Spendthrift can be of assistance. Once again, the number, 859-293-0030. The website is spendthriftfarm.com. And thanks for your patronage. Well, Dr. Steve Alday is supposed to come in here pretty soon, and two of the products that he has developed, incidentally, are Lubricin and Reborn, two products that I happen to believe in. I really believe in the Lubricin, I'll tell you what, because they make it for people, and I take it regularly.
And so do I.
And so does Jackie. And
It's the purple-flavored grape flavor.
Yeah, you know, thanks, Doc, if you're listening, for making that taste pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
Yeah, I was ready to hold my nose and take it
the
first time.
Some of the vitamins I take taste terrible.
Oh, that's right. But anyway, we've been taking it now for, geez, better part of a year. And I'd still get out of bed in the morning, so kind of owe that a thank you to Dr. Alday. But anyway, both those products are endorsed by many owners and trainers and veterinarians, and both, incidentally, are all natural, and they're test-free. You don't have to worry about the spit box. Lubricin sustains the integrity of joint fluid, and it can help reduce the need for, you know, acid injections and those kind of things. Many of the top trainers use Lubricin on a regular basis. Trainers like Todd Pletcher and Tony Dutrow and Jerry Hollendorfer and Mike Merker, just to mention a few of them. They also have it, as I said, for humans, and I've been using it for quite a while now. Now, Reborn is 100% sterile, whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum. Safe, easy to use as a dietary supplement for horses of all ages, starting with foals. What it does, it strengthens the foal's immune system while he's nursing on the mare, because of its high concentration of growth factors and antibodies, and actually it supports immune functions in horses of all ages. A lot of trainers use that too. I know Charlie Lepreski used it, and Wise Dan ran on it. And I tell you what, any time you see anything written by Todd Pletcher or something like that, you can bet that they're using Lubricin or maybe both of those products. Here's how you get in touch with it. I'll give you an 800 number first, 800-901-9498. Or you can go to lubricin.com, Lubricin.com, or reborn.com, reborne.com. You can buy both those products at KBC in Lexington, or at Horse Sense down in Versailles, and I know the human kind that you can get over at Old Friends, because Dr. Alday is a big-time supporter of All Friends, and God bless him for that. So anyway, look them up. Go to that website, lubricin.com or reborn.com. And let's see here, the first foals by Alternation arrived this year, just as expected. They're superb individuals. We thought they would be, because Alternation is one grand individual. If you've seen him, you know what we're talking about. Expectations were pretty high for those foals. Book full in his first season of stud, book full again this year. Alternation's off to an excellent start at stud, and he's got a license to sire runners because he has the race record, the pedigree to match his confirmation. He's a multiple graded stakes winner and a millionaire. He's by Champion Distorted Humor. His dam, Alternate, by Champion Sire Seattle Slough, won a place in 11 stakes, five of them graded, and earned over $550,000. And this is the family of the outstanding sire, Broken Vow. Alternation stable made a Pinoak stud. So thanks to breeders for supporting Alternation. And for more on the Pinoak stallions, get in touch with Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens, 859-873-1420. And the website is pinoakstud.com.
Now, back to Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis.
All righty. Well, let's see. A bunch of stakes run today. And let me give you those stakes. Well, first of all, let me tell you who won from out here. They've had 27 winners this month so far from the Thoroughbred Training Center. that were trained right here. And since last week's show, Steve Casey, a good friend of mine, took Dakota Fred up to Belterra and won. Jesse Caudill, another friend, had Summer Secret win at Mountaineer. Tom Bergen, one of my Irish friends, took, what, how do you pronounce this? Scoopanon? Anyway, I hope you didn't name it. Hope you didn't name it, Tom. Won at Indiana. Danny Hamilton won at Mountaineer with Classic Bobby. And Brian Michael went up to Churchill Downs and won with Run, Rule Like Cleopatra. Rule Like Cleopatra. How about that? All right, so that's 22 winners, 27 winners so far this month. What did I say, 22 the first time? Well, I kind of screwed that up, didn't I? Anyway, stakes races tomorrow. The Summertime Oaks at Santa Anita is a grade two race drawn a field of, well, I think the outside horse Fantastic Style, I believe, was scratched. So I think it's got a field of nine going now. And let's see, what else are they running tomorrow? They're running Bed of Roses Handicap. It's a grade three race up at Belmont Park. Eight have been entered for that. And who's the top weight in there? Dame Dorothy in with 123 pounds. And La Verdad is in with 122 pounds. Bed of Roses, a top race mare bred by Alfred Gwynn Vanderbilt. And maybe in the second half, we have a little time, we'll get to talk a little bit about her. The Obia Stakes, grade three, up at Delaware Park, and got a field of 11 going there. And let's see what else is running tomorrow. The graded stakes, anyway. The King Edward Stakes, grade two, up at Woodbine. That's on Sunday, on Monmouth Park Sunday. It's the Pegasus, grade three. They also run in the Red Cross Stakes at Monmouth on Sunday. Red Cross, it's not named after the charitable organization or whatever, I guess you call it charitable anyway. Red Cross was by Delta Judge. I remember her real well. She was bred and raised for Miss Mary V. Fisher. Boy, she had some gas. I mean, she was fast. She used to hook up with a filly named My Juliet.
Oh, I remember My Juliet.
You remember My Juliet? Yeah.
My Juliet,
she was by Gallant Romeo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but
Juliet is the dam of somebody really famous.
Well, you got me.
You got me, too.
Anyway, I remember when they were running. They hooked up at Monmouth Park in the stakes race up there one day, and they ran the first quarter of a mile in like 20-1.
Hidden head.
And, boy, they just cut each other so they both ran out of the money.
That'll teach you.
The eighth pole hit them both in the head. They just died.
Oh,
you know,
but
those two fillies could fly. Red Cross was, I said, by Delta Judge. And Miss Mary Fisher, bless her heart, she was a lovely person, owned Dixiana, you know, when her father died away, Charles T. Fisher. And she sold that mare. For some reason, I don't know why she sold her as a broodmare. They sent her to France, and she had a group stakes winner over there.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so she was a good producer, too. Too bad she didn't keep her. But anyway, she didn't.
Maybe the trainer sold her.
No, different trainer.
Oh, okay.
Chuck Wurzler was training.
Ah.
Yeah, at that time. Yeah, I'm pretty, I think Mr. Hodgins had moved on. But anyway, that I remember she was a gorgeous mare, Chestnut. But anyway, that's that. Let's see, they run into Pegasus. I said that in my Ohio Derby. It's not graded, but it's got a real good field in there.
Where's that run?
When?
Right, where?
Thistle Downs.
Oh, well, yeah. That's what I thought.
I went up there many years ago, about 1959 or 60. Went up to see the Ohio Derby. A friend of mine, Pete Salmon, had something in there, ran third. I forgot who won it that year, but anyway.
What's the purse?
The purse is $500,000, and it's not graded. It used to be graded. Let's see, today, the Royal Ascot, the big one over there, is the Diamond Jubilee Stakes, grade one. The 4-year-olds and up. Big fields over there at Royal Ascot. Field of 15. Let's see if there's any American breeds in there. Here's Due Diligence by Warfront. Movista by Hardspun.
Yeah.
Tropics by Sprightstown is in there. And
Good.
Undrafted, who's by Purin. I don't know where Purim is now. Let's see, also at Delaware tomorrow, this is not another non-graded stakes field of 11 entered there. And two Artie Schillers in there as a scat daddy. Two, Tis Deja Vu. Tis Deja Vu stands over at Pope McLean's farm. All right, well, the first foals by point of entry are knockouts. Go to the website, adenastallions.com. Take a look. Or better still, call a farm. They'd be glad to show you some. Many breeders already have, and they not only like what they see, they're coming back for more. Port of Entry has a license to sire runners. He won 6 graded stakes, 5 grade 1. He ran a bang-up second in the grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf. He ran in record time, and those who saw him beat Animal Kingdom in the grade 1 Gulfstream Park Turf Handicap by sprinting 5 furlongs in 56-1. That's the last 5 furlongs of the mile and an eighth race, and he went in 56-1. That'll win a whole lot of sprints. And they're not people who saw that, and I'd likely forget it. Point of Entry is by Dynaformer. He's out of the Seeking the Gold Mare, Malacha Pass, the dam also the classic-winning filly Pine Island. In fact, his first 4 dams are grade 1 winners. Grade 1 producers are both. Call Cormac Breathnack or Jack Brothers over to Dena Springs, 859-987-1798, and take once again, take a look at the website at adenastallions.com.
Hear this. Fox Sports 1580 is available everywhere you want to listen on our free iHeartRadio app. Download it now. WWTF Georgetown, Lexington.
All right, well, Creative Cause has a $1 million pedigree, won grade 1 stakes and over $1 million. His sire won grade 1 stakes and earned over $1 million. His dam won grade 1 stakes and won over $1 million. He's by 3 times champion sire Giants Causeway. Actually, Giants Causeway earned over $3 million. And he's out of the $1 million winner Dream of Summer. Creative Cause won grade 1 stakes at 2, grade 2 stakes at 3, placing 2 more grade 1 stakes, including the classic Preakness. And he met and defeated every horse he ever ran against. Runners like Bodemeister, Union Rags, I'll Have Another, Paintner, Hanson, Doolahan, Take Charge Indy, Gemologist, super crop of high-class runners. The first foals by Creative Cause are yearlings, and you're going to love them at the sales. There are 8 of them in the Phasey Tipton July sales. Stands at Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website, airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursa Lele.
All righty.
My Juliet won a hell over $500,000. She had 9 foals, 10. No, she had 10 foals, 9 were winners, and 3 of those were stakes winners.
All right.
There you go. And she was a Calumet. I think that's why
they bought her Calumet.
Yeah, they bought her.
All right, I've got Dr. Steve Alday, right? Boy, I'm not used to veterinarians being on time.
Well, actually, I was a little late because of the weather, so.
Well, thanks for coming. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Yeah. How have you been, my friend?
Great. Just great. Busy, but good.
Well, you're supposed to be busy.
Yeah. Well, not anymore. I'm starting to slow down a little bit.
Oh, come on.
No, you can't say that to Ursel about slow down.
That's right. Yeah, really, I can't. You're right. You're speeding up.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, when you're going downhill, you go faster.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
I'm glad you liked it, Doc.
Yeah. That was good.
I just talked to Michael a few minutes ago up in Saratoga.
Michael? Blowing, yeah, sure.
And he mentioned you. Yeah. Of course, he knew you were coming on the show.
Yeah.
And he's up in Saratoga right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're a big supporter of old friends.
Yes, sir. We do. We support with products and time, and we put on a party, and we try to generate as much income as we can to take care of the retirees. There's a bunch of them in the past that have been patients of mine.
Okay, which ones?
Well, Prize was. I took care of Prize when I worked for Drysdale.
Really?
And,
he went over $1 million.
Yeah, he was a nice horse. Actually, his first official start on turf, he won the Breeders' Cup Turf at Gulfstream Park.
Well, I learned something today. I'm glad you came down.
Yeah. And then, let's see, I was around Gulch when he was transferred over to Lucas's in New York. And the year that he won the Breeders' Cup and won the Met Mile and that sort of thing. And let's see, who else? A couple of horses that have passed away I've been around. I'd have to see a roster of the horses there, but there's a number of them. Hidden Lake, I worked on her when actually before she was ever a champion. I worked on her when Walter Greenman had her in California.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a quiet American mare that actually Walter called me up about a curb on her, and I freeze fired a curb on her at Hollywood Park.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember the mare real well. But, you know, I was the mare never had a thing.
No, she didn't. That happens a lot, though.
Yeah, well, it does, yeah. You know, I mean.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
There's not many personal ensigns out there.
Well, no. Well, you know, but basically, you got the best shot with a good race mare than you getting a runner.
Oh, I'd say better than most.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're going to get something, you might get something great. That's a good part.
Yeah, so. But I was going through the sales catalog, and I saw her in there, and she was in toward the end of the sale, you know, and so I got on the phone and called Michael, and I said, Michael, you got to get this done, you know, see if you can get that mare over there, and he immediately got it done. You know how Michael
sure.
is.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of proud of getting. I was kind of instrumental in getting her over there because I don't know if he'd have found her in the tail end of that catalog.
Well, it's possible. I mean, that they may or may not have. But you know, it's really becoming interesting because a number of the people that have been responsible, very very dedicated owners in the game, and we can name them all. I know a number of them from New York and also from the Midwest, like Maggie Moss and. I work with Sandy Goldfarb in New York, and then there are a number of them now that are basically putting away some money and going back and firing these horses after they've had them in the past and retiring them and taking care of them and putting them in retirement farms, which is admirable, and it also shows responsible ownership, and that's really what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
And the horses give to us, so we've got to give back to them too.
Yeah.
And that's what I do. I give product. I give time if needed. I've gone over and looked at the horse that won 22 in a row review.
Yeah, I know you're
I'm drawing
about.
A blank here. But as there you go, you see I'm getting slow. So anyway, so I need to go downhill too, speed up a little.
I can't remember the horse's name either.
Yeah.
Right, nice looking horse. He hadn't been there but a couple of years.
Yeah, he is. And he had an ankle that was bugging him, so I came over and put him on some product and injected it one time. It seemed like he's done really well.
Oh, good.
Okay, so.
Yeah, they got him eligible for those starter allowances, and he had him over the barrel.
Oh, did he ever, yeah.
Yeah.
he was taking a gun to a stick fight.
That's, you know, that's every trainer's dream.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to get one eligible for those starters. Jackie and I used to cheat a little bit to do that.
Well, a lot of people do.
How come we cheated?
Well, we drop them down, you know, where...
No, you just got lucky didn't get taken, but you guys were holding them for a couple races that you were talking about.
Yeah, you got to be real careful.
I had a real good friend, Herb Jones. I'm going to tell a story. You know Herb?
I know he is.
Everybody knows Herb. But he was about as good as anybody. I kind of come up with Herb, you know, a little bit, and he was about as good as anybody getting a particular horse, you know, to win a race, you know. And the first thing he said, you know, says when you're getting ready to run, or it's the next thing you got to do, you got to find a good, honest rider that'll hold a horse for you.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny you should say that because I remember I'd worked standardbreds first. And then when I went to work on thoroughbreds, I did some work in New York for Richard Lundy, and he had horses for Mrs. Payson and also Sheikh Mohammed. And then he took the Paulson job, and he went to work for Alan Paulson privately. So I went out to California, and I was at Del Mar in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie Whittingham and Bill Shoemaker were having dinner at a place called Bully's right there on the beach.
Yeah.
And they'd hung out quite a bit together because they were pretty good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And Dick and I joined them for dinner. And so Charlie had a few cocktails, and he looked over at me one time. He goes, you know something? He goes, Billy, he goes, how many races did you win? He goes, oh, 8,000. I said, he looked at me and says, Doctor, isn't that amazing? I said, yeah. He says, can you imagine how many he would have won if he hadn't held some men?
That's great.
You talk about
it.
Bullies. What are the name of those nice people that that own that? Do you remember?
We got a hat.
Yeah, I've got it. They were here about five summers ago, and they had a horse in training here with Hill Parker, and they would come and visit, you know, and hung out. We got to know them real good, and they gave me a hat that said Bullies on it.
Sure.
I've still got that.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool place, actually. It's right on the beach. And, you know, it's just up from Del Mar. It's a little different now than it used to be because it's developed a lot more. But, you know, the old part of town is actually, it's a still just kind of like a weekenders, you know, a bunch of hippies types that surfboard, things like that, you know, hang out there all the time.
So. Last time I was at Del Mar, I think Shoemaker had the bug.
Oh, jeez. I wasn't born yet.
Oh, he knows how to hoot now.
Exactly. Exactly. Hey, the name of that horse is Rapid Redux.
Rapid Redux.
Yeah. Matt looked it up.
Thank you, Matt. It's Matt Howard over here, doctor. Yeah, well, whoops, I got to take a little break. I'll get right back with you, my friend. Let me dig out, find my Claiborne ad. Where did it go anyway? I've got one around here somewhere else. I got it out of place. It got stuck to something. But I've got two of them. Ah, here we go. I come prepared. Algorithms is by the top side Bernardini, and he's one of three graded stakes winners produced by Ava Knows the Code, a hard-hitting graded stakes runner herself. It's a family of tough, hard-hitting stakes winners. Algorithms won all three of his career starts. Broke his maiden first time out by 5 1/4 lengths at Belmont. Served notice that day that he was something special. Won his second start as a two-year-old, also in impressive fashion, at Gulfstream Park. His third start at three was in the Grade 2 $500,000 Holy Bull Stakes at Gulfstream Park. He handed handsome champion two-year-old the previous year his first defeat, winning by 5 opening lengths. At that time, Algorithms was considered a major threat for the upcoming classics, but a training accident ended his career. His obvious class, pedigree, and confirmation commanded an opportunity at stud, and the quality of his first foals, yearlings this year, justified the decision. There are three of them in the Facey Tipton Kentucky July sale, so go take a look. You're going to like them. Inquiries to Bernie Sams at 859-233-4252 and see the website at claibornfarm.com. Well, my good friend just mentioned Hill Parker here a minute ago, and Hill trains horses, as I said, but he also is in the real estate business. Been in the real estate, he and his wife, Regan, for over a dozen years now, and have a great website. I'll give it to you in a minute. But I'll tell you what, if you're in the market for a farm, they can just find the perfect farm just for you, the perfect price, perfect location, and they work real hard till they get it. They're great people, people that you can trust, which is very important when you're dealing in anything. And their present website, which is lexhorsefarms.com, is worthwhile just going just to take a look at some of the nice places they have for sale. If you want to list them, go ahead, because they really get the job done for you. They present listings, they've got farms in Fed, Bourbon, Jesmond, Woodford, Scott, Clark County. Outstanding variety of locations and sizes. Their phone number is 859-608-8039. That's Hill and Reagan Parker, lexhorsefarms.com. Well, Crestwood Farm is family operated and family owned. Founded by Pope McLean, the McLean family has operated their 1,000-acre Crestwood Farm since 1970, just the other day. And they have raised more than 250 stakes horses. Among them were three fillies that went on to earn over $2 million each. Serena Song, she earned over $3,283,000. Island Fashion, she earned over $2 million. Extra Heat, she earned over $2,389,000. Both Serena Song and Extra Heat earned Eclipse Awards. Extra Heat just elected to Racing's Hall of Fame. They know how to raise runners at Crestwood Farm. They also know how to treat their customers. It's a family operation. They treat them like family. Many have been with them for years. They offer a wide variety of services, including, of course, sales consignments. You see the next yearling consignment, July 9, at the Facey Tipton July sale. So if you're planning to sell this fall, give Pope a call at 859-252-3770. You're always welcome to stop by the farm. For more information about Crestwood Farm and the many services available, go to the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
Now, back to Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis.
All right, I'm talking to the extremely well-known veterinarian, Dr. Steve Allday. And, Doc, you still traveling or are you just settling down in Shelbyville now?
No, I still travel.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you do during the week?
Depends. I line up a trip. Like, I just came back from New York. I go to Florida in the winter. Ocala and the training center in Miami, Gulfstream. Uh-huh. And sometimes out west and sometimes outside the states.
So. Wherever a customer called you from.
Well, it depends. I don't know who the customer is. You know, I'm a little pickier than I used to be.
That's what happens when you get wealthy.
There you go. Yeah.
That's a beautiful farm you've got there.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, really. How many acres you have in there?
I got 82.
82
yeah.
acres, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you have any horses of your own?
Oh, yeah. I keep rope horses there. I rope. That covered pen is my playground. That's my playpen.
Roping horses.
Yeah. I roped in high school and college.
Yeah, but Matt's over
this
here.
This is an old cowboy over here. Yeah.
Kansas.
Yeah. He's from Kansas, but yeah.
I'm from Texas originally.
Oh, is that right?
Where?
What part?
Northeast Texas, about 50 miles south of Texarkana.
Okay. Huh. Your family have horses or something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were raised in a horse family. That's all I've ever done.
Is that right? What kind did they have?
Quarter horses, and then my parents got thoroughbreds after that, and then they'd breed both together. And then we messed a little bit with some race horses back then. And my parents moved to Southern Maryland when I was younger, and then I ended up going back to Texas, living with my dad's brother, and went to college and then vet school there.
Yeah.
Which college?
Texas A&M.
Texas
A&M. The only vet school in the state of Texas.
Oh.
He's a Kansas State man.
He's in the state of Texas. He's correct.
In the state of
Stuart Burns.
Well, in the country of Texas. The Union, Texas Union.
Yeah, there you go. Well, it's good. Almost getting to be that way. You know?
Just about.
Yeah, it's true.
So you're getting ready to apply for independence here pretty soon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He sounds like he's going to push for it, too, doesn't he?
No, I'm kidding.
I know you're not. Yeah. What about your governor down there? The ex-governor, you think he's got a shot?
No, not at all. He doesn't have a prayer.
Doesn't he? Okay. All right.
I think the public's a little, they don't cut off with him.
Yeah, all right.
That's why he's an ex-governor.
That's why he's an ex-governor? Yeah. Well, anyway.
There you are.
He is a Texas A&M grad, too, by the way.
Is that right?
Yeah, sure is.
Yeah, well, all kinds, you know.
Yep. Stuart Burns is a A&M,
oh, yeah.
And his son, who's now out here at Park, is A&M.
Yeah.
You know Stuart?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everybody knows Stuart.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, he had to retire for his problem with his eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, sad, but what a
nice
guy. Great guy. Great family, as a matter of fact. Yeah. You got a family?
Yes, sir. I got two kids. And my lovely wife, she was supposed to join us. She's sitting out here in the car. And I don't know what happened.
Why don't we bring her up here?
I told her to come up here, but she didn't.
Somebody must have got to her first. Tag on, I hate it.
The phone. I'll send her a text to her to come up here.
But she's supposed to be listening.
Well, she's supposed to be. She's supposed to be up here.
She can come up here and correct you. Is she waving?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, that's funny.
Not going to come up.
That's right. Yeah.
It's radio.
You can come in here with your shorts on and your flip flops. Nobody care.
That's right. No. That's why we do this.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Face for radio.
Yeah, I've got a face for radio.
My sister lives right down off Harrington Mill.
Really?
Close to you. Yeah.
Well, she's right around the corner.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, really, maybe you walk over to my place.
Exactly.
You go up to Scott Station, and I'm right around the corner.
Yeah, she's that first road off Harrington toward you. I can't remember the name of the dumb road, but.
It's Scott Station, and then Mount Horeb is what the Harrington Mill turns into. So.
Yeah.
That do you have any thoroughbreds of your own?
I manage and consult with some, and so I just consult and manage. I don't actually own them, so it's a little unethical.
That doesn't count, Doc, because you don't you can't claim them until you pay the bills on.
Well, that's true, but but I basically take all the heat for it when they don't do well. So.
There you go. Of course, somebody has to. Do you board?
Yeah, well, just, some horses there. I got a gal that trains three-day event horses at my place.
Oh.
So she stays pretty busy, and she uses my pen, and she, jumps and goes on the road quite a bit. She's good.
You going to get in quarter horse racing when it comes?
That was Matt who said, are you going to do quarter horse racing?
Oh, well, yeah, we'll see. They say Jesus is coming back, too, but I want to see him first.
Well, I think Keenan's the one.
I mean, I'll jump on the bandwagon when he's back here, and he can certainly lay hands on me, but show me first.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Wait till we get by.
Show me the horses and show me the racing.
I got the horses right next door.
Yeah, Matt raises quarter horses.
My parents were both quarter horse people, too. Yeah. I mean, that's why I was around originally.
So he's waiting for Keenan to open up that track down in eastern Kentucky, Yeah, that's going to be fun down there in eastern Kentucky, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess. As long as it's not too far off the interstate.
It's not. It's cut off of it.
Right off the interstate. Well, that's good.
They're not going to have any barns or stables down there, so most of them will probably be stable from here.
Yeah, well, they'll have to ship. No, it's the harness racing's done that. At the Meadowlands, they just have a receiving barn. Yonkers just has a receiving barn. Huh. The place upstate there, Vernon, I think, is like that. There's a lot of places like that now. Very few harness tracks they're almost like the European tracks where you just ship in, race, and then go back to where your training facility.
Yeah. Well, I've got to ask now, you grew up with quarter horses and so forth, but then you said you got started with trotters. How'd you get involved with them?
Well, that's interesting. When I was a kid, my dad had some horses that had some lameness issues, and he used a lot of guys in the Maryland area from the track, from farms and whatnot. And he came across a guy named Gary Ross that was working at Rosecroft, which is a track right outside of Washington, D.C. And Gary said, listen, I'm not sure exactly what your problem is here. He says, but here's a referral number. Call this guy up. I said, you know, he does referral work. Well, as it turned out, it was Edwin A. Churchill.
Okay.
And he was the first president of the American Association of Equine Practitioners, and he built the Widener Clinic when he was there. And he was a breeder of both standardbreds, and as it turned out, he did quite a bit of work for Allaire DuPont, which was a Woodstock farm over in Chesapeake City. And I went and watched him do his thing, and he was different than everybody else. I mean, he did it a whole lot more efficiently, and I thought, well, either this guy is wrong, or everybody else, or he's the only one that's right, and everybody else is wrong, or he's crazy, one or the other. And I kind of came to the opinion he was a pretty sharp cat. So yeah. I ended up, my dad took a bunch of horses to him. I did an internship with him at a vet school, and then, ironically enough, I went to work for another guy named Kenny Sieber, who's no longer with us too. He passed away as well, and he worked at the Meadowlands. That's where I started on the racetrack, was at the Meadowlands back in the 80s. And then I did that till Dr. Sieber retired and started training horses, standardbreds. Uh-huh. And then in 1987, I switched over to Belmont Park.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you find a whole lot of difference between what you did with trotters and pacers? And
huge difference.
Huge difference?
Oh, yeah.
What way?
Well, the trainers were a lot more hands-on because they got behind them and they jogged them, this sort of thing. Whereas the trainers, obviously, you when you train a group of horses, we just talked about this yesterday, too, because I remember Frank Whiteley. I ended up being around him, becoming friends with him, uh-huh. and I worked for David. He used to tell me, he says, you know, a lot of guys will get on their horses, and trainers, assistant trainers will get on horses. He says, but the problem is you're missing a lot out there. When you're just on the one, you're only paying attention to one if you're really riding it. And he says, you got to train or learn how to be a really, really good trained visualizer or observer. And I heard Shogue say the same thing, so he obviously got it from Mr. Whiteley and David. And a lot of the really, really good trainers say, you know, you can only ride them so long. After a while, you got to learn to watch and observe and see what's going on both in the barn when they're cooling out, when they're in the stalls resting, when they come out in the mornings, this sort of thing. And when you're getting on their back, you're missing a lot. So bottom line is, you know, it seems like maybe the old school or the best way to do it is learn how to be a good visualizer, a good observer, and you can probably tell a whole lot more what's going on.
Yeah. So. Great advantage of winning, get on one.
Well, sometimes it is. I mean, I think you're missing, if you got more than one in a set, you're missing a lot of other horses.
Well, there you go.
You know, so.
Yeah. Same.
Well, and it's real interesting. You can be sensitive to that or you cannot be. You know, you really have to know what you're doing when you ride them.
Well, no doubt. I think there's an advantage to being able to ride one. You can communicate a lot of things. I mean, I was born and raised riding horses and breaking them. I broke thoroughbreds, you know, this sort of thing, for a couple of farms in Maryland when I was a kid and in college. And
in Maryland, you said?
Yeah, in Southern Maryland.
Well, you've been everywhere.
Yeah, well, you know, that's when you move around a lot. But I've worked every major racetrack in America.
Wow.
At one time or another. I'm licensed just about at all of them. So.
All right, what's your favorite? Where'd you rather be?
Well, my favorite track for the longest time, I really enjoyed Churchill. It's different than it used to be now, which, you know, it's a lot more asphalt back there, things like that. But that was my favorite place to go and work every day. I liked the Southern California tracks because they were convenient. Del Mar is beautiful. Yeah. I really liked Hollywood Park, but I guess that's going to be part of my memory now because it's no longer there.
Yeah,
I wasn't a big fan of Santa Anita. I never really cared for it too much, but. You know, there's a number of tracks. I liked Arlington Park. I was pretty partial to it. I liked it with the dirt track there. I don't care for the poly. Never really cared for it that much, but I liked Arlington. It's a great turf course there. A wonderful turf course.
Yeah.
New Orleans has, you know, good things and bad things. I mean, I don't think the backside's the best in the world, but the track's pretty nice.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like Belmont. I love going to Saratoga. I enjoy going up there. I'm not real high on the Florida tracks, but just because I don't like going to Florida, I got to move away from my family for the winter. I used to.
Yeah.
So, but I'd say probably Churchill's my favorite of all. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty close to Shelbyville.
Well, closer, yeah. That's why I moved there.
Well, that was a good move. That was fun.
Yeah.
Well, great. Well, all right. I'm going to let you go, I guess, Doc.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Anything you need?
Any new products we ought to know about?
Yeah, well, I tell you what, with the advent of the steroids being banned, you know, we've had our sales in both racetrack and on the prep of yearlings with Reborn, our colostrum product. And the advantage to it is it's a whole colostrum that has all the complements in it, so it can really, really help your immune system, helps your horse put on muscle, develop, convert feed, and a lot of big outfits are using it. And I could give you a laundry list of them, but if you're not using it, you're probably at a disadvantage. So all the babies that I consult with go on it, and also with the Lubricin too, helps their joints. But we got a topical product coming out with HA in it that we can spray on wounds, and it has a disinfectant, and it'll be out probably this fall. We'll probably have it out and have it.
Well, let us know.
Yeah,
what's the name of it? If you named it yet?
Well, I think they're going to call it Lubricin RX is what they're going to call it. I wanted to call it a few other things, but I think they've come up with they're going to call it Lubricin
RX.
It's
for horses, so for topical, you don't have it for
Probably be for horses and for animals, too, for dogs and cats. Women.
Oh, okay, because we take Lubricin. We take the
grape. Yeah, and thank you for making it taste good.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. We take it every morning.
No, most of that kind of stuff, you know, the first time I went to take it, I said, oh, it's going to be bad.
But it's not. It's really good.
And do you use grape or use the...
Grape.
I prefer the grape, too.
Yeah, I didn't know we made it. We've got a variety of tastes.
No, you've got plain, I know.
No, we just have what they call natural, which basically has no hardly any flavor.
Oh, we've got the grape.
Yeah, we got the grape.
But the grapes are better.
We've always had the grape.
We bought a big box of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
sure.
I know.
Yeah, well, we've been taking it now for a couple of years. Since you first came around.
Yeah.
Since we first heard about it.
I know Michael Bowen takes it.
Michael was
I think everybody at Old Friends.
Well, I think they do, yeah.
Yeah.
Besides the horses, they get it too.
They're all greased up out there.
Okay. We're keeping loot.
Right.
Well, it's good to see you.
Well, it's good to see you.
Stop back anytime.
Appreciate it, Doc. Anytime.
My pleasure.
Just whenever you're this way, just stop in, doing court at the same old place.
Have a good one. Take care.
Thank you, Doc. Say hello to your wife.
We'll do. I'll hustle her up there next time.
Okay. There you go.
Well, First Defense is off to another good start in 2015. Iris Jasper has won the Grade 3 Miss Preakness Stakes at Aqueduct. Won Aqueduct's Bell Harbor Stakes. The Miss Preakness Stakes, of course, is at Pimlico. Come on, Ursula. Dun Dunnell has won the Sprint Cup. Group 2 in Hong Kong. Of course, Dun Dunnell also won group stakes in England, and he's the second millionaire by First Defense, having been preceded by Eclipse Award winner Close Hatches. Fame and Power won the Sir Barton at Pimlico, and he's placed in the Grade 3 Matt Wynn at Churchill and in Keeneland's Grade 3 Coolmore Lexington Stakes. Tom Belaine won the Tetrad Stakes in Ireland after he placed in a couple of Group 2 stakes at 2 last year. You're going to be hearing more about him. Two others have placed in stakes in England, Dance Track and Ab Seal. All that already this year, and the best is yet to come. The quality mare sent to him since his emergence as a classic sire is superb. First Defense stands at Judmond Farm. For more on the stallions there, call Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry at 859-272-7629 and see the website at judmond.com. Well, in stakes last weekend, the Grade 3 Matt Wynn at Churchill was won by Island Town, raised on Macaulay products at Three Chimneys Farm for breeder Randy Block. The play trial stakes at Woodbine went to Danish Dinah, former foaled in Canada, but raised by his breeder, Charles Fifke, at his CF farm over in Bourbon County. And the Desert Storm at Santa Anita was won by Amaranth, bred by H. Allen Poindexter in Mockmahal and raised at Mockmahal. Congratulations to all from Macaulay Brothers, the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse. Horses raised on Macaulay products have won 85 stakes this year, 47 of them graded, 13 grade 1. The most important development during a horse's lifetime comes on the farm, where it was raised, and the record speaks for itself. To learn more about the products at Macaulay's and the free services available, call Mike Warren or David Longmire at 859-873-3333. See the website at MacaulayBros.com or visit the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Macaulay Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Daily Racing Form Racing's Bible. Sunday edition is out as we speak. Of course, so is the Saturday edition. And if you hit, they've got a... an insert there, a magazine insert in the Saturday's edition, all about the Triple Crown and, of course, American Pharoah. And it's really good. I've got it at home. I was reading it last night as I went to bed. And anyway, so pick up your Saturday and then pick up your Sunday, the Sunday edition. John Sparkman always knows what he's talking about. He's got an article on Birdstone. Joe Neville's about talking about the Ocala Training Center and the various uses for it down in Ocala. Then you got past performances from Churchill and Belmont and Belterra, Arlington, Woodbine, Monmouth, Canterbury, Lone Star, Gulfstream Park, all in the Sunday edition. But here's what I want you to do. Go to drf.com/breeding update and sign today. Sign up today for that breeding update. They will find in-depth breeding news, sales, and auction coverage, and a whole lot more throughout the week. So it's a free. And once again, go to drf.com breeding update and sign up, and you'll be getting it. So that's the Daily Racing Form. Great organization. Racing's finest.
Everyone in the horse, when it comes to moving your horse, you can depend that a Sally van is in tip-top condition and that the person behind the wheel is an experienced driver and an experienced horseman. And that's why, for over 60 years, a Sally van has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center and Ursel Ellis.
All right, well, I've got Steve Moody with me. Steve is the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet and published by Bloodstock Research Information Services. What's the name of that stakes race down there today, Steve? At Churchill.
That is the Roxalana, Ursel, which is a nice filly for Blackie Huffman had several years ago, probably, I don't know, 15 or more years ago.
Well, that's before my time. What are you laughing for? Well, Steve, who's going to win it? That's the most important thing. Give us a winner. We all need a winner.
All right. Well, we had 9 drawn. Ursel got 2 scratched, the 6 Not Again Nancy, and the 7 Tony's Holiday have both scratched. So field of 7 for this 6 furlong sprint. Their track is sloppy and they're off the grass today, but this race on the going to be on a probably a somewhat of an off track. I don't know if it'll be sloppy by late afternoon or not, but I had a tough time with this one. It's two, I thought, really hard to separate here. I went for the 8 horse here from Ben Colebrook's barn, Willow Hills. This is an unbeaten filly by Distorted Humor. She's 3 for 3 in her career and was a very easy winner the last start, and that was her first start at Churchill Downs. And the thing I like about her is that she's got some versatility. She can run on the lead, or she's shown that she can rate to just off the pace if the pace is really hot. And I think that versatility will pay off for her today. James Graham has the mount for Ben Colebrook. And just the way that she won at Churchill Downs first time out, giving her the nod to come back again today and win it again. Danita's Ruler, the 4 horse, another one that's on the improve. The last time out, she posted her best ever number, winning the My Juliet Stakes up at Parks, which is in Philadelphia. And if she runs back to that race, she could be very, very tough. She's 4 to 1 on the morning line. Pretty decent price. Willow Hills, the 2 to 1 favorite. The 2 horse, Milam. Something else about Danita's Ruler also is she's shown an affinity for an off track, so that could play in her favor today. The 2 horse Milam also has run well on an off track. He's kind of been, tantalizingly close, gets in position of her recent starts, hadn't been able to finish. but she's another one that's worth a look today. Tough to separate the contenders, Ursel, but I'm going to go with the horse that's unbeaten and hope she can stay that way, Willow Hills. We'll go 8-4-2 in the Roxalana.
All right, Steve. We do appreciate it. And this, of course, been to talk to you next week. Big racing next week. Mostly in New York, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's supposed to be closing weekend at Churchill. So they'll have the, not sure which stake they'll have on Saturday, but it'll be either the Bashford Manor or the debutante, be one or the other.
They're going to run them both that Saturday, right?
I'm not sure if they're going to run both or have one Saturday, one Sunday, but those would be the stakes that they'll have for closing weekend.
Historically, didn't they used to run them on the same day?
Yes, they usually did. Of course, they didn't. Back in those days, they would always, you know, run into the first week of July.
Yeah.
They're going to have the Firecracker, too, and that'll be – so I don't know if they're going to have three stakes on one card or I would think they wouldn't, but, you know, you never know.
Yeah, okay.
They don't pay me to consult, so.
Well, they should.
Well, that's probably true.
All right, Steve, we thank you. And this has been Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. You can pick that up. Best thing to do is go to the website. That's brisnet.com, BRISNET.com. Or you can pick it up where they sell a daily racing form, or if you're going to the simulcast, they sell them at Keeneland, don't they, Steve?
I believe so, or so.
Okay, well, make sure you get one. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Talk to you next week.
All right, Ursula.
All right.
Bye.
Now, let's see, got to take care of the breeders of Kentucky Bred Stakes winners from last week, and this brought to you by the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, that's my good friend Chauncey Morris, and let's see, we'll start out with the Grade 1 Stakes, which was just the one, that was a Stephen Foster Churchill Downs, the winner was Noble Bird, by Birdstone, bred by Jack Swain. The Grade 2 Fleur de Lis at Churchill Downs. Frivolous won that. That's a mare by Empire Maker, 5-year-old mare, bred by G. Watts Humphrey, Jr. That's, of course, his place down in Harrodsburg, Shawnee Farm. The Grade 3 Matt Wynn Stakes. Island Town, the winner. That's a hard-spun gilding, bred by Randy Block and so forth. The Adoration Stakes Grade 3 at Santa Anita, winner was Beholder. Henny Hughes, bred by Fred and Nancy Mitchell over here at Clarkland Farm over on Bryan Station Road, owned by Spendthrift Farm. Boy, they've won a bunch of stakes with that mare. 5-year-old mare. Of course, she's an Eclipse Award winner. Gary Stevens, still riding her. The Alley Wow Stakes up at Woodbine. Mississippi Delta won that. A 3-year-old filly by Giants Causeway, who stands down at Ashford Stud. This one bred by Mike Rutherford. Mike Rutherford's farm over behind Keeneland used to belong to a Manchester farm. I don't know if he still calls it Manchester now. It used to be Duval Healy's place over there. The Desert Stormer Stakes at Santa Anita. Amaranth won that by Mr. Greeley, bred by Alan Poindexter and Mock Mahal, raised at Mock Mahal over in Bourbon County. The Satin and Lace Stakes, Cactus Chris won that. He's by Cactus Ridge. I don't know where that horse is now. They moved him, but he gets some runners wherever he stands, but he's not in Kentucky anymore. This one was bred by Tom Keegan and James Pagliafito. Probably messed that up. The Miss Patty Handicap at Gulfstream Park winner, Westminster Road, by Quality Road, bred by the Lazy F Ranch. The Wild Applause Stakes at Belmont Park, winner was Celestine, that's a Scat Daddy. Boy, he's had a good weekend. Phoenix Rising Farms was the breeder of that one. Wait a minute, where am I now? Yeah, of course, Scat Daddy, also this sire of, what's the name of that filly that won the No Nay Never? No, Acapulco. Won the Queen Mary Stakes, Group 2, at Royal Ascot. And, of course, he sired a good one earlier, a grade one winner. That's two grade one winners he sired out there. No Nay Never won the, now that was a Norfolk Stakes. It was grade two, group two, but anyway. All right, those are the Kentucky bred horses. I think that was all of them. I don't, let me look and see if I'm messed up here. No, that's it. Okay, well, time's running out in the breeding season. But if you're looking for a real racehorse standing for a bargain fee, take a look at Albertus Maximus, grade one winner, millionaire, standing free to approve mares. You can't beat that price. And when we say a real racehorse, we mean just that. He won the grade one Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, won the grade one Don Handicap in the Windy Sands at Del Mar, set a new track record that day, earned over $1,328,000. He's won a 6 grade one winners by grade one, a grade one winner of over $3 million, and his half-brother won the grade one Champagne Stakes just last year. So give stallion manager Ken Barnes a call. His number is 859-224-4585. Go take a look at Albertus Maximus and also the other Shadwell stands, De Hare and Interdad, both proven sires of graded stakes winners. Once again, Kent's number, 859-224-4585, and the website is shadwellfarm.com.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is Chrisnet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information not available anywhere else. Trainer and jockey stats, detailed pedigree data, exclusive Brits pace, speed, and class ratings, free memberships, free handicapping software, race entries and results, handicapper selections, and so much more. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover Britsnet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, Candy Ride currently ranks number 3 on the North American sire list. Without doubt, one of his most brilliant and versatile sons is Sidney's Candy. Sidney's Candy won 6 graded stakes, among them the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby. Posted triple-digit buyers on every conceivable type of racing service. Set a new track record to break his maiden as a 2-year-old, 5.5 furlongs, 102-3. Set a new course record for a mile and a 16th at Del Mar, 139-2. Run a mile on the dirt and graded stakes at 133-3, setting early fractions of 22-2, 45, 108-2, 120-3. One of 8 grade one winners by Candy Ride, and out of the multiple graded stakes producer Fair Exchange, a daughter of Stormcat and grade one winner in Millionaire Exchange, Sidney's Candy stands at Windstar Farm. You'll see some yearlings by him out here at the Fasig Tipton sale in July. Call Darren Fox or Sean Togle or Kyle Wilson, 859-873-1717, and see the website at windstarfarm.com.
Now, back to Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis.
All righty. My bride went up to get some donuts. We got to talking about donuts, so she had to run up to the corner to buy donuts. She should be down here doing her announcements, but she did. She's not, so we're going to. They're running the Bed of Roses handicap up in Aqueduct today. I'm going to talk a little bit about Bed of Roses. Bed of Roses is by Rosemont. Rosemont was basically a private stud that stood in Virginia, belonged to the DuPont family, and they didn't breathe any outside mare sale into him. They didn't. He was kind of a private stallion, and they never really sold seasons to him. Now you could call up and buy him, but they never went out and hustled him like they do around here anymore. But he was a pretty good kind of a stakes winner. It's our 26 stakes winners, including Burlow was by him. She was a champion handicap mare. Keep the Promise, another good one. Something Super. True North, boy, he was fast. Won the Widener, incidentally. True North, they got a stakes named after him also. Peace Corps was by Bed of Roses, by Rosemont. Gala Performance, Sandboy. Bed of Roses was out of a mare named Good Thing by Discovery. And she was a pretty good race mare. She ran second in the Gazelle and won some races. And it's kind of an odd kind of a family. Good Thing was ancestors of God only knows how many stakes winners, including, let's see, Regal Sparkle was one of them. He was by Bupers. She was, I should say. Bupers, the son of Double J, stood over at the stallion station many moons ago. Lunar Beauty by Torsion. Torsion by Neverband. That kind of fits, doesn't it? Torsion by Neverband. Neverband stood at Spencer Farm over here. Torsion was down at Airdrie Stud. Peace Corps by Restless Native. Artichoke was from that same female family. He was the son of Jacinto. I'm pretty sure he was a bull ruler, but I know he stood down at Claiborne Farm. And Scrimshaw was by Jiper. Scrimshaw was a pretty good kind of a racehorse, you know, when mostly a grass horse. Jiper went on the dirt, though, went to Travers, and was a Nash ruler. Very, very good racehorse. So anyway, it's a wonderful kind of family. She was, Betta Roses was a champion two-year-old filly of a year and went on to be a champion handicap mare. She started 46 times during her lifetime, won 18 races, 8 seconds, and 6 thirds, and earned over $383,000. And guess what? My wife, Jackie, just returned with the donuts.
Yes.
And you want to do your announcement?
Dirty job, but somebody has to do it. Yeah, first thing I got to say is if you have been awake this spring, you know that everything you've got in your yard has grown like crazy. And I looked up, and in my backyard, I've got this great big, huge 3-4-story tulip poplar, and a great hunk of it grew over the house. So I called Kenny Littrell at Arlington Tree Service, and they got out there the next morning, and his brother and another guy, real nice guys, shinny right up that tree. I mean, they were up in there cutting that down, and they dropped every piece exactly where they. I didn't have to move lawn furniture or tables or anything. It was brilliant.
I don't know how they do that.
I don't know how they do it either, but it was fantastic. Now, I'm talking about Arlington Tree Service. He's in Paris. It's Kenny Littrell. He does a super duper duper job. Give him a call. 293-0288. That's 293-0288.
You know, he turned down an invitation to Royal Ascot.
Yeah, his father-in-law went to Royal Ascot.
Ken Ramsey's his father-in-law.
Yeah.
Ken called him, and Kenny says,
he's real busy.
Yeah.
You know, tell the queen I said, hey.
Yeah, he's no Bourbon County boy. He's like me, doesn't want to get out of Bourbon County.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, they did a fantastic job in and out of there in about 45 minutes. And my worry that thing was going to fall on the roof is gone.
Yeah. So, Kenny used to ride.
Oh, allergic to horses, and he wrote.
Yeah, he was allergic. He used to ride for us about 50 pounds ago.
Yeah, he was a good rider.
Excellent. Rode a few races.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good guy.
Yeah. Well, of course, his family. His dad's Joe, and you know his family all.
Yeah, hello to Joe. I told him to tell his dad, hey, from us. So.
Well, go ahead.
Okay. Let's see here. Somebody turned this stuff all inside out.
Don't look at me.
Somebody, Old Friends has got a fine arts website of all things, so check up Old Friends Equine and check it out. Now, Sandy Farrell is going to have a Kentucky Hunter Jumper Association clinic July 11th and 12th. That's at Lake Shore Arena in Frankfort. That's a great place. They've got 2 indoors, so it's pretty nice. At the horse park, the rodeo's going on, I know. I'm sure Matt will be out there.
Yeehaw!
Yeah, that's it. Wednesday.
Rusty gets carried away every now and then.
The Pony Club Hunter Jumper Mid-South Rally.
I didn't want you to think that was me.
Horse, no. Sitting on a tack. Sounds. Anyway, that's today and tomorrow. And also going on, I said Quarter Horse Association. It's a 4-day quarter horse show. Hats Off Kentucky is coming up July the 25th if you want to celebrate. It's a celebration of the horse industry, and they give away hats. So call Rude and Riddle if you want to donate a hat.
Yeah. That's at the horse park, right?
Yes, at the horse park. We're out here at the Thoroughbred Center where they are now selling fence materials. They've got posts and planks and anything you might need, you can come here and pick it up, or they'll send it to you if you like. That's fine. The Attaquan FEI North American Junior and Young Rider Championships will be at the Horse Park July 14th. That's a big one. The Keep Foundation's Horses Work license plates featuring Seattle Slough are now available. Lakeside Arena today and tomorrow is Bruce Brown. That's Hunter Jumper stuff, 873-9155. If you can stand it. Shuffle Ridge Farm, Nori Shuffle's going to have her annual Hunter Jumper show at her place in Paris, July 18th and 19th. You can get her at nori@blue.one.net. She's a great girl. And she has a fun show. I mean, it's really nice. And they have great food at that one, of all things. It's quite nice. Let's see what else I've got. New Vocations is going to build out at Mirworth Farm. They do, what do you call it? Horse retirement. They don't retire them. They redo them like rerun. I help with rerun. So, let's see. Ursula was looking through my stuff, you see. And, yes, sirree, Bob. Joyce Brinsfield's summer camps are beginning. The week of 7/13 is the beginner, 7/20 is intermediate, 7/27 is equitation, and there's an adult camp. I'd like to do that August 3rd through the 7th, just for fun. Shuffle Ridge, that I just talked about in Bourbon County, is having one. Their main camp was man camp was last week. Next one coming up is girl camp. The golf scramble is Tuesday, the 23rd. Contact Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers.
All right. Thank you, Jackie. The folks at Spencer Farm would like to take this time to thank the breeders for making the 2015 breeding season their best yet and to wish you all a most profitable sales season. The staff at Spencer Farm has worked hard to become the breeder's farm, and they're proud of that many of you have taken advantage of their popular breed, Secure and Share the Upside program. They're also proud of the first crop success of End of Mischief and Line of David and Temple City and Warrior's Reward. Congratulate those who sent mares to them. To learn more about Spendthrift Farm Stallions, contact Des Dempsey, Brian Lyle, and Mark Toothacker. The telephone number is 859-294-0030. They'd be happy to show you the stallions and to talk to you about your future breeding plans and how Spendthrift can be of assistance. Once again, the number is 859-293-0030. The website is spendthriftfarm.com. And thanks again for your patronage.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursula Lele.
All right, I got about 5 minutes here, and doggone if I didn't lose my place. What?
Bad news about Mountaineer. They're cutting their racing dates. They used to end it in December, and this year they're going to end in October because they can. What the government giveth, the government taketh away, and that's racing dates at Mountaineer. Another perfect example.
All right. I've got about 3 or 4 minutes now. One thing I want to do then, I want to just read a little something from Joe Palmer's This Was Racing, and it's called Entirely Legal. Just take me a couple of minutes here. It's about a chicken fight. Best chicken fight I ever saw. Here we overtake a man mid-course in the narrative. Was down in West Virginia. We had a fight going, and it was raided by some local police under direction of the SPCA. There weren't any chickens actually fighting when they broke in, and of course the bets were all oral, so they couldn't find any grounds for holding us, but they just took the birds. Next morning, we didn't have the usual problem of getting people out of jail. We just had to get the chickens out. So another fellow and I went down to see about it. It turned out the SPCA had dumped all the cocks, 35 or 40 of them, in the same pen. It was dark, and they found some place to roost and went to sleep. But then a roar stood a-tiptoeing on the eastern hills, and a ray of sunlight went into the pen. The first chicken that waked up saw another cock next to him and promptly jumped on his head. And after that, one thing led to another. When we got there was a scene described usually as indescribable. There was blood on the floor until it was slippery. About 4 feet over the melee, there was a tumbling mass of feathers rising and falling like the top of a fountain. What cocks were still alive were still going at it furiously.
It was the finest battle royal I ever saw, concluded the man. And it was all perfectly legal. The SPCA had staged it in the county jail.
I love that. That's one of Joe Palmer's.
I love Joe Palmer. Well, once again, the winners out of the Thoroughbred Center, and there have been 27 of them this month. And since last week's show, let's see who's saddle winner. Steve Casey, Jesse Caudle saddled them. One, Tommy Bergen, a good Irish friend down here, Danny Hamilton, and Brian Michael, also saddle winners this year. And we got a bunch of stakes going for us this weekend. Let's see where we are. The Diamond Jubilee is the big one at Royal Ascot. It's the Grade 1 stakes. The biggest, the graded stakes, the Summertime Oaks Grade 2 at Santa Anita. Up at Belmont Park, Bed of Roses. We just talked about Bed of Roses. The Obia Stakes, Grade 3 at Delaware Park. And let's see what else we got going for us this week. The Red Cross Stakes at Monmouth Park. And, they're running to My Juliet next weekend. Yeah. At Churchill. Yeah.
You remember? We just talked about her.
Yeah, she was by, Gallant Romeo.
Yes.
Son of Gallant Man, who stood over at the Stallion Station over here on the Russell Cave Road back when Lou Doherty and Harold Snowden sat. Well, she was some kind of a fast filly. Sunday at Woodbine up in Canada. It's the King Edward Stakes. I don't know Edward, but they're going to run one in his name. Which one was King Edward, Jackie? Do you know offhand?
Well, there were a bunch of them.
Bunch of King Edwards?
Yeah.
Well, one of them got a stakes race named after him.
Well, good for him.
Well, he must
have been. Too bad he can't see it.
Monmouth Park.
Well, maybe he can't. Maybe it's, yeah.
Well, maybe you can, yeah. The Pegasus Grade 3 is at Monmouth Park. And the Ohio Derby at Thistledowns. It's not graded, but it's a $500,000 pot. All right. Well, they're playing my song, which means it's time to bail out. And I want to thank Tim down in the studio.
And the people at Fox Sports 1580 for giving us such a welcome.
Yes, I really appreciate everything. A wonderful outfit, and we'll be right here from 8 to 10 from now on.
That's right.
And you can go to...
It's iHeartRadio. How's that work, Resi?
Get the app and go to iHeartRadio.
Lexington Radio and find Fox Sports. Easy. You can hear it all over the world.
Got to bail out. So thanks for listening.
Here's a special message for those of you who sail
Saturday. All right, you guys are all clear.
Thank you, Tim. Great job.
Yep, everything sounded great coming back here, so hopefully everything was good on your all's end.
Well, you were extra special.
Oh.
You know, you did a